So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 19, The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha, text number 37. Vai Hiranyaksha Vadam Maha Adbhutam Vikriditam Karna Sukara Apnaha Shrinoti Gayati Anumodate Anjasa Vimuchite Brahmavadhat Api Dija Yo Vai Hiranyaksha Vadam Mahadbhutam Vikriditam Karna Sukaratmana Shinoti Gaya Janumodaten Jasa Vimuchite Brahmavadhat Api Jaja Yo Vai Hiranyaksha Vadam Mahadbhutam Vikriditam Karna Sukaratmana Shinoti Gaya Chanumodaten Jasa Vimuchite Brahmavadhat Abhijaja Yo Vai Hiranyaksha Vadam Mahadbhutam Vikriditam Karna Sukaratmana Chinoti Gaya Tanumoditen Jasa Vimuchite Brahmavadhan Apijaja Yaha Hihu Vai Indeed Hiranyaksha Vadham of the killing of Hiranyaksha Maha Adbhutam most wonderful Vikriditam pastime Karana for reasons like raising the earth from the ocean Sukara appearing in the form of a boar Apnaha of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shrinoti, is. Gayati, chants. Anumodate, takes pleasure. Anjasa, at once. Vimuchite, becomes freed. Brahmavadhat, from the sin of killing a Brahmana. Api, even. Dujaha, O Brahmanas. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Brahmanas, anyone who hears, chants, or takes pleasure in the wonderful narration of the killing of the Hiranyaksha demon by the Lord, who appeared as the first boar in order to deliver the world, is at once relieved of the results of sinful activities, even the killing of a Brahmana. Translation responsibly. O Brahmanas, anyone who hears, chants, or takes pleasure in the wonderful narration of the killing of the Hiranyaksha demon by the Lord, who appeared as the first boar in order to deliver the world, is at once relieved of the results of sinful activities, even the killing of a Brahmana. Purport. Since the Personality of Godhead is in the absolute position, there is no difference between His pastimes and His personality. Anyone who hears about the pastimes of the Lord associates with the Lord directly. And one who associates directly with the Lord is certainly freed from all sinful activities, even to the extent of the killing of a Brahmana, which is considered the most sinful activity in the material world. One should be very eager to hear about the activities of the Lord from the bona fide source, the pure devotee. If one simply gives oral reception to the narration and accepts the glories of the Lord, then he is qualified. The impersonalist philosophers cannot understand the activities of the Lord. They think that all his activities are Maya, therefore they are called Mayavadis. Since everything to them is Maya, these narrations are not for them. Some impersonalists are reluctant to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, although many of them are now taking an interest in it just for monetary gain. Actually, however, they have no faith. On the contrary, they describe it in their own way. We should not hear, therefore, from the Mayavadis. We have to hear from Suta Goswami or Maitreya, who actually present the narrations as they are, and only then can we relish the pastimes of the Lord. Otherwise, the effects on the neophyte audience will be poisonous. Om Gyantimi Rondasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sakana Ragnatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvabhutam Krishna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagna Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Rishabhanu Sudhi Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gora Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Namo Vishnu Puraya Krishna Svaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Chinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharya Shatarani. The verse again. Yovaiharanyaksha vadham madhad putam vikriditam karna sukaratmanaha shinoti gaya chanu modaten jasa vimuchate brahma vadhad api jajaha. O brahmanas, anyone who hears, chants, or takes pleasure in the wonderful narration of the killing of the Hiranyaksha demon by the Lord, who appeared as the first boar in order to deliver the world, is at once relieved of the results of sinful activities, even the killing of a brahmana. So, continuing on from the Chatur Shloki, Canto 3, jump the canto. So this is Suta Goswami speaking this verse today, as he says, O Brahmanas. So Suta Goswami is seated amongst all of the sages, speaking at the forest of Naimisharanya, yes. So the forest of Naimisharanya, they gathered there to do a 1,000-year sacrifice. Continuously they were going to perform sacrifices, which in itself is quite inconceivable. We sometimes see Gangesha Prabhu all day on the weekend doing yagyas, and just for one whole day, and we think, oh, that's really a lot of service. And but 1,000-year sacrifice is just something else altogether. You know, so much ghee that you would need. You know, the ghee it's the essence of the cow's milk. You know, you have to, it's quite a bit of labour to extract that essence from the cow's milk, to churn it so long and make butter, and then, you know, remove the impurities until you get the pure butter fat. So, you know, vast volumes of ghee would have been required in such a sacrifice. And the sages themselves admitted that although they were performing this sacrifice, in a sense it was a fruitive activity. As you see, the Vedas are generally prescribing sacrifices as for material benefits. But still they weren't sure what the outcome would be. You know, if you're going to do that activity, a 1,000-year sacrifice, then you'd hope to get something good out of it. But they were not even certain that what the result would be. And Prabhupada says, just like, you know, agriculture, if you prepare the ground and sow the seeds, but then you're still dependent on the rain, which is in the hands of God. So there's still some uncertainty. Though you've done all the work, you're still not sure what the yield of crops will be. And then the sages, their bodies became black from all the smoke from the fire. I'm sure it was a very big fire for a 1,000-year sacrifice. But still, in spite of that, you know, discomfort and inconvenience of being harassed by the smoke from the fire, they were still feeling pleasure because they were hearing from Suta Goswami the pastimes of Krishna. And so Prabhupada explains, even in spiritual advancement, spiritual endeavours, then they won't be successful unless there's devotional service of the Lord. So in one of the 9 forms of devotional service, so the sages were hearing, and because they were hearing in the proper mood, then they were experiencing the pleasure of hearing Krishna's pastimes, which are no different from him. And this Naimisharanya was also a very significant place. It's described in the Vedas that when Brahma created the universe, he wanted to make like a wheel to enclose the universe, and then he made the hub of that wheel, the very center, he made that as Naimisharanya, the forest there. And also, the Vedas describe that the Naimisharanya forest, if you perform sacrifices there, then it curbs down the strength of the demoniac people. So therefore, the Brahmanas liked to do sacrifices at Naimisharanya because it would, you know, keep down the demoniac influence in the world. So Naimisharanya is a very significant place. And they were doing this sacrifice, you know, for the welfare of humankind, and also we're trying to perform our spiritual life not only for ourselves but to benefit others. And so our method is, as the well-known example is, of watering the root of the tree. So this is our method for benefiting everyone, that we serve Krishna, and by serving Krishna everyone becomes benefited. Now it's interesting, sometimes people ask, you know, how is that I'm chanting my rounds and my next door neighbours are getting benefit? So Prabhupada makes a nice point in this section of, in the first canto of Bhagavatam, that if a branch or leaves and so on, twigs, if they're detached from the tree, then they won't get any benefit. They'll actually dry up. No matter how much water you're putting on the roots of the tree, if a branch is broken off or detached from the tree, then there's no benefit for that branch. So he says this is how the current state of human society, that they've detached themselves from the Lord. So it's very difficult to give them benefit from our spiritual activities. So firstly, we have to attract people to the Krishna consciousness movement through our activities of Harinam and Prasadam distribution. Somehow or other, make Krishna consciousness attractive to people, and very individual as well. Everyone has their different inclinations and will be attracted to different things. As Chaitanya Charanprabhu was saying, that some people need a more intellectual presentation of Krishna consciousness, and so they're attracted by that kind of style of preaching. So somehow, if they're attracted, then they're reconnected to the tree of Krishna, and then they can get the benefit from watering the root of the tree. And so main point in this verse is about hearing, that anyone who hears the pastimes of Krishna is relieved from the results of their sinful activities. And Prabhupada explains that the audience must be very sincere and eager to hear. And also, as Chaitanya Charanprabhu was explaining, it doesn't end there, that, you know, the audience is here and it's up to them. They have to be attentive, and the audience has to be sincere and eager to hear. So for everyone, that pretty much that's already fulfilled. If you're coming to the Bhagavatam class, or if you're hearing Bhagavatam class, then you're showing some sincerity and eagerness to hear. So then the onus moves on to the speaker to present in such a way as to make the Bhagavatam enlivening for everyone to hear. So that, you know, people want to keep coming. So this is... and then there's that nice reciprocation, that the hearing, Prabhupada explains, brings nourishment to us. You know, you can think about times where you've had this experience of attending a class by such devotees who really know how to churn the nectar from the Bhagavatam. And it's just so nectar to hear. And then you walk out of the class and it's prasadam time, but you're already feeling pretty satisfied from hearing the class, you know. And, you know, I guess just to maintain the body, then we'll eat something. But so this is the ideal situation where we're actually hearing Bhagavatam class or hearing other lectures and so on, and it's so satisfying to us. So it's just as if we had eaten something, that we're, you know, we feel full and satisfied. So this is one of the goals of our hearing, is that we receive the nourishment. It's not a dry process of hearing and not getting anything out of it. We want to, you know, have that nourishment. So we have to be submissive and open and ready to receive, in a receival mood. So the sages were able to transcend their material miseries. As I was mentioning, they were choking on the smoke and so on. But devotional service allows us to transcend the material platform, whatever particular miseries we might be experiencing, by absorbing ourselves, making an intention to attempt to transcend the three modes of material nature by engaging ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Then Krishna can reciprocate and allow us to overcome whatever material obstacles are there, and tolerate them and be satisfied with Krishna consciousness. So another main theme in this verse, saying that we can overcome the results of our sinful activities. So our false ego would love to tell us that we're so pure, you know, we're spotless. We have our bleached quarters and everything, and you know, there's not a spot on us. But our acharyas, through their songs, they tell us something different. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a nice song. I'll read some of the translation. So in his songbook, one of them is called Sharanagati, so the process of surrender. This is what we're trying to do, surrender to Krishna. And so the first section was called, the Bengali, I guess, is called Dainya, meaning humility. So then the next section is Atmanivedana, or offering everything to Krishna. And one of the songs, I'll read it to you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, "How much more shall I tell you of my shameful story? There is no sin which I have not committed thousands and thousands of times." So the living entity in this material world, all of us, we've been taking many, many births. And unfortunately, in a state of ignorance, been committing many sinful acts in all of those lifetimes. And of course, most of them we've forgotten. But still, we're held accountable for them. So we have to receive the results at some point or another. And you know, in our intentions, we were, you know, intending to act sinfully, or in our words, or in our gross actions, then we've done so many sinful things. So he continues, "My life in this world has been one of affliction and torment as a result of those sins. Whom will I blame but myself? At the time, I did not consider the consequences. Now, in the aftermath, I seek to be saved." So as a result of these sinful activities, we have to get the reaction, and therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses the word torment and affliction, that these sinful reactions torment the living entity, that you know, place him in a very miserable condition. Just like if we're afflicted with a disease of some sort, then it's a very miserable situation. But we can't blame Krishna for our ignorance and our sinful acts that we've done. So, but now Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying in the aftermath. So aftermath means something terrible happened, and you know, like a cyclone hit Fiji, and then the aftermath. Okay, what devastation has occurred on that island, and then now what are we going to do? That's the after the fact. That's the aftermath. So now we're seeing Bhaktivinoda Thakur showing us what should we do. We've done so many sinful acts, and we can't go back and undo them. So now he says, I seek to be saved. So that's really our only hope, to approach Krishna in a mood of repentance and, you know, pray to Krishna that we don't want to continue in that miserable way of material existence anymore. So he says, "After judging my sins, you should punish me, for I deserve to suffer the pangs of rebirth in this world. I only pray that, as I wander through repeated births and deaths, my mind may ever dwell at your lotus feet in the company of Vaishnavas." So he's actually accepting whatever punishment Krishna may give. But of course, Krishna is so merciful, and we'll speak more about that later. But even in that apparent, even though going through many rebirths, he just wants the company of Vaishnavas. So this is a nice Because the Acharya is always showing us how to, the mood that we should develop in our Krishna consciousness. It's a very humble mood, not, you know, denying that we've ever done anything wrong in our lifetime, but just admitting to ourselves and admitting to Krishna that we've done many things wrong, and but we want to change. So this is the, even in programs like Alcoholics Anonymous or something, then the condition for that transformation of a person into to a better way of life is just that desire on the part of the person, on the part of the individual, that desire to change, to take a new direction. But if a person doesn't think they've done anything wrong, and, you know, doesn't see the wrong that they've done, then there's it's very hard for them to progress. So all of these things, if we learn from Nectar of Devotion, that the root cause of sinful activity is ignorance. So this is how the living entity, the soul, comes into the material world, just through ignorance of their spiritual identity. So and we acquire a false ego, we get into the bodily concept of life, thinking that we are the body, thinking in terms of I and mine, and so this is also nicely explained in Bhagavad Gita. This false ego and this thinking in terms of the bodily concept, and Krishna very nicely explains, even 5,000 years ago, what is this demoniac mentality. So the demoniac person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him. My other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am the richest man, surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give some charity. And thus I shall rejoice. But Krishna says, in this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. So this is the, we have the Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and there's the materialistic mantra. So we find this in this verse. Anyone guess? Ishvara Aham Aham Bhogi. So this is the materialistic mantra. So just like sometimes in the city streets, there'll be a protest. Some group has gathered people together, and they march down the city street and protesting against some government policy or something. So materialistic people, they're protesting against God. They're saying, I am the enjoyer, I am happy. Ishvaroham aham bhogi. So they're walking down the street chanting like this. Ishvaroham aham bhogi. Ishvaroham aham bhogi. So I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. So they want to deny God and protest against God that you are not the enjoyer. But they don't see how illogical this is, that just for the fact that if everyone's saying, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, then what about the person next to you? They're also saying that. How can you both be the enjoyer and controller? So, of course, there's the example of the nice still pond, and you throw one stone into the pond and it makes concentric circles. But then if you just throw a big handful of stones into the pond, then the concentric circles all clash up against each other and it becomes very wavy. So there's no order. But if you throw the stone just into one place, you keep throwing more stones into that one place, then the circles will just keep going out nicely into a nice pattern. So then if Krishna is the center and everyone has Krishna as their center, then there's harmony in the world. But if everyone's calling themselves Krishna, basically, then there's chaos and disorder. So King Rishabhdev also describes this. This is, you know, like, if you think about it, everyone's calling themselves the enjoyer and the controller. You know, it's subtle. It's not like everyone's got a big banner saying. But it's just, you see, in their actions and their, you know, their interactions with people, how they interact with you. If you meet them on the street, then they have this conception that I'm everything. I am the center of existence, and you know, I have my life, everything revolves around me. So, but it's just, that's, you know, we can see if we're, objectively, that it's just madness. It's just really crazy thing to think that I'm the center of existence. But this is the power of the false ego. So King Rishabhdev, when instructing his sons, let's bring up that verse. Maybe someone knows this verse. Rasika? Nunam. Do you know this verse? Nunam pramate kute vikama. Rasika, I think you do. Okay. Sorry. Nunam pramate kute vikama. Yad indriya pritya apinoti. Nasaru manye yata atmanoyam asan api kleshida asadeha. So Lord Rishabhdev, he says, when a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it is not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. A very comprehensive explanation of the materialistic way by Lord Rishabhdev, that, you know, we're trying to enjoy this world, but this body that we have is the result, is given to us due to our past sinful activities, past karma. So, and the body itself, kleshada, is the source of our misery. So, you know, we're trying to enjoy in the world, but the very thing that we're trying to enjoy is the source of our misery. So therefore, that's madness. So he says, it's not, you know, if we're intelligent, we should not get into sense gratification. We have to hear from the scriptures that this is my situation, this is what got me into trouble, this sense gratification. You know, I have this miserable body now because of my past sense gratification. So I should avoid that at all costs and learn how to engage the senses instead in Krishna's service. So it's not a artificial restraint. Can't have sense gratification. It does have to be there to some extent, but more important is to engage our senses in Krishna's service. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the four sinful activities are illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication and gambling. These are the means by which one gets another material body that is full of miseries. In the Vedas, it is said, asango hyaham purusha. The living entity is not really connected with this material world, but due to his tendency to enjoy the material senses, he is put into the material condition. One should perfect his life by associating with devotees. he should not become further implicated in the material body. So this is another good point that Rishabhdev points out, that actually the living entity should not have taken on a material body. So we're so, you know, we so much adore our material bodies, but actually we weren't meant to have a material body. We're a pure spirit soul. And the spirit soul has a spiritual body, which we are trying to awaken and revive our spiritual senses through the process of Krishna consciousness. So the material body is just a burden for us. We have to do so much to maintain it every day. But of course, devotees, we still maintain it very nicely for Krishna's pleasure. But still, it's like it's kind of a burden. It's like you have to work a lot and, you know, keep it healthy, and it's a lot of effort. So this is a. But then, if we can realize that we're, at least realize that we're not the body, then so much of that burden is relieved. When we just realize that, you know, actually I have nothing to do with the body. I'm actually an eternal servant of Krishna, and my only business is to serve Him, lovingly serve Him. Then we're freed from so much anxiety about the body. So, the main, point of this verse is how kind Krishna is, that even though we've done so much bad activities in the world, Krishna is so kind that He will still deliver us and wipe away all those sinful activities. And just like if a child wanders away from home, or like maybe a rebellious teenager runs away from home, and then they forget about their nice home with their loving parents who want to care for them and provide everything for them. And instead of that situation, this rebellious child is now struggling to survive, wandering around, struggling for existence. Although the child might have forgotten their nice home, but the parents haven't forgotten the child, and they're really hankering to have the child back. So it's like that Krishna is much more keen for us to come back to the spiritual world than we are to go back to Him. And He does so much to try and bring us back. Of course, He Himself comes. We're hearing about all the avatars. And as He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadhanam panashaya chadushikam. So He wants to come and deliver the sadhus, or the devotees. And also, especially as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He delivers not only the sadhus, but delivers the demons as well. So this is Krishna's mercy and Krishna's kindness. This is the mercy that the acharyas show us that we need to pray for. Krishna is so kind that he completely overlooks all the bad things we've done in this world. Even if we were a little bit offensive to God Himself, if we blasphemed Krishna, we were atheists, we were impersonalists, but if we just are willing to turn away from those activities and turn toward Krishna, then he's very, very much inclined to us. The only thing He's not, forgiving of is offences toward devotees. So, as sometimes we hear, there's the distinction between the effects of sinful activity and the effects of aparad, or offences to devotees. So sinful activities, today, the result of killing a brahmana, as Prabhupada says, it's considered the most sinful activity in the material world, to kill a brahmana. And Srimad Bhagavatam describes the punishment for that in the fifth canto. That hell is called Kala Sutra, and that hellish planet or region is it's level and it's made from copper. So copper is used in electricity wires because it's very, very good for conducting heat. And so that copper surface is heated by the sun very nicely, very hot. And the killer of a brahmana has to go there and burn for a long, long time. You know, it's, you know, burning marble, if you think about marble, is very cooling, nice to walk on. But if you're trying to, you can't walk on copper, that's just like, that's hellish. That's a hellish planet. So even that sin, Krishna is willing to forgive if we start hearing about him sincerely, wanting to, and hearing with the idea of service, that we don't want to compete with Krishna anymore. We want to give up that competitive spirit and just be submissively hear from Krishna about Krishna. But offense to devotees, then that stays for lifetimes. If it's, you know, if it's not, we need to seek the forgiveness of devotees if we happen to, if there's some misunderstanding, and cultivate nice relationships with devotees. Not wrestle too much. And so therefore we're hearing about how kind Krishna is, that he will save us from so many sinful activities and give us the opportunity, as it said, Krishna Prema Pradayate. So he'll give us the highest thing. This is what's on offer. And if we understand this, then we're very more attentive to implement the process of Krishna consciousness in our life. Find out how we can increase our Krishna consciousness and very steadily execute that process of hearing and chanting regularly. And be very satisfied and happy in that process, not hankering after some position. You know, we've been a devotee for so many years, so when's the reward going to come? No, but just to accept that we're Krishna's servant eternally and be satisfied in hearing and chanting about the Lord and also in spreading that message to others. So I'll stop here and see if there's any comments or questions at today's verse. Yes, my teacher.
You give such a nice class.
Oh, very superb.
You were speaking how Shunan forgives sinful activity, but is not ready to forgive evil acts against the world. Are you aware of all you've been studying about acts in the Shastra?
Study about the different kinds of aparas. I guess off the top of my head, you know, Nectar of Devotion explains about offences in service, like seva, aparad, mostly talks about in terms of deity worship in that section. And seva aparad, Vaishnava aparad. That's the only reference I can think of at the moment. But I'm sure there's more in Bhagavatam. And any other comments or questions? Yes, Keshav.
Anyone who hears chants like this, that plays a wonderful dance and not a believer, they are not simply a believer. put things together and understand these things.
Okay, so we say the seventh offense against chanting of the holy name is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. And here we're hearing that those sinful activities can be wiped away by hearing the glories of Krishna, pastimes, his name, and so on. So it's about the intention that we're not hearing the glories of the Lord because we want to be cleansed of our sinful activities. It's the side effect. You know, we're not just aiming to become free from our sinful activities because we want to, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that one who has acted piously in this life and in previous lives is freed from all their sinful activities, and then they engage in Krishna's service with determination. So when we're free from our sinful activities, then we engage in Krishna's service with determination. If someone has the intention that I want to hear about Krishna, or I want to chant the Maha Mantra so that I can become free from my sinful activities and then keep on enjoying in this world, then that mentality is offensive. Yeah. So it's about the mentality. If we have the mentality that I don't want to act against Krishna anymore, I want to turn toward Krishna now, and therefore I will hear about him and submissively, then, and also I won't commit any more sinful activities, then Krishna will remove all their past sinful activities. And but we promise at initiation not to commit any more sinful activities. So Krishna doesn't, we're not adding to the stock that's already there. As Prabhupada would say, this is the fault in the Christian mentality of many Christians, that the teachings of Christ are perfect, but the followers kind of have this cheating mentality that they want to accept Christ and he will absolve them of all sins, then they can keep on sinning, eating so much meat and I think it's Sankarshan Das Prabhu, it's called it the Jesus credit card. Just put all your sins on the Jesus card. Yes, Mataji.
Why does there seem to be like so much mercy in this particular verse? Like, bringing us for sinful activities, would we say that is the same effect no matter which verse? We pay attention as we
hear. This verse? Not only if we hear this verse, but the whole, it's saying the whole pastime. The wonderful, anyone who hears the wonderful narration of the killing of the Hiranyaksha demon. So not only this verse, but it's not only this narration, but you'll find that kind of similar verses in many other pastimes. There's kind of like the fruit of the hearing is at many times at the end of different chapters. You'll find that one of the effects from hearing that is to be free from all our sinful activities. So not only the pastime of the Hiranyaksha demon.
Sometimes people
can't just purely take up hearing about Krishna, so they need some motivation, some fruitive benefit. So Bhagavatam gives that as well. If you hear about Krishna, then you'll be free from all your sinful activities. Yeah. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki.